Hey, you guys, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We have an awesome, awesome topic to discuss. I just can't even, this is actually in my niche. Now, a lot of times, you know, since I'm in media and all the other things that I do, passion and purpose coach, I don't get an opportunity like this, which is an awesome one, to actually talk about anesthesia a little bit and the things that we actually want our patients not to experience, but it does happen, unfortunately. We have an awesome, awesome young lady here with us. Her name is Miss Bobby Anderson. She is actually a pain management coach. And you know what? I have to give her kudos because, you know, she picked an awesome thing that she's doing, and she actually, if you Google her, she's the first person in the Google Map. I'm like, that is an awesome thing. But you know how that goes. You know, whatever you do in your purpose, it's actually what you, your passion, and things that you've been through. A lot of times, it actually is the things that we've been through that wasn't so good when we were going through it. But the thing to always remember when you go through something, when you've actually gotten through that situation, and sometimes it's when you're going through the situation, you actually can witness to somebody else. You can actually help somebody else. And this is what this young lady is doing. The amazing thing that she's going to tell us, I actually was in her website, I was on YouTube, I was really diving into this. Because, you know, as you know, I've done anesthesia for about 13 years. And one of the main things, you know, we look at when the patient's asleep and, you know, before the patient and actually after, we concern about the heart rate, the blood pressure, you know, we concern about the, you know, the EKG, you know, that's the rhythm of the heart and the oxygen saturation, that's how much oxygen in their body. But let me tell you, we are concerned about pain. That was one of the things that I was concerned about all my colleagues in anesthesia. You don't want the patient to have pain after anesthesia. Well, you know that happens when you have a cut. You know, when we were a child growing up, when we had a cut, when we had a fall, and even adult, when we had accidents, we do have pain. But the most important thing is you need to express that you have pain to your medical professionals. And we work as a team, the nurses, the doctors, all of us work together to try to prevent that pain. But guess what? Sometimes that pain lingers, and that goes from what we call acute to chronic pain. And we don't want that to happen. But, you know, let me tell you, Bobby is going to tell us the management. She's awesome. She's a pain management coach, like I said. She's going to give us some tools that we need to do to help if we do have pain and the resources that we can go. And we need to call her if we're going through a situation that we can actually get help. But thank you so much. Bobby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. And I'm excited to be here and share.
Well, thank you. You know, pain is a big topic, and I thank you that actually, to, you know, being in this area, that you actually can help other people. So we commend you for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. You know, when I decided that I wanted to help folks that were in chronic physical and emotional pain, it was kind of how in the introduction you're like brave to do something like that. It was a big decision. But having gone through a lot of physical and emotional pain in my lifetime so far and making the realizations that I have with how, I'm not going to say easily, but simply, things can change by changing the way we think about things and the way we talk about things, I knew that I had to share it, that it needed to be something that I couldn't keep to myself. So, you know, pain management takes a lot of different levels, a lot of different ways. You folks in the critical scene do it with medications and that type of thing. When the pain turns chronic and the medical professionals physiologically say, you know, your body is bound, things are healed, but you still feel that pain is real. So if it's not coming actually from a dysfunction in the body, it's coming from the mind because the mind and body haven't made that connection that everything is healed. And that not only is so prevalent in the physical part of pain, but emotionally. I think people are so apt to push away emotional issues, and those emotional chronic pain issues, I like to call them, lead to physical things. So there's usually always an emotional component if you have lingering physical pain. So my job is being kind of the Blue's Clues investigator to figure out what is it that's triggering that pain for your body not to let it go.
Wow. And I know that's a big task, but you do it a wonderful job. But let's just step back a minute. Just so everybody's on the same page, what is the definition of pain management?
Well, it's got several definitions, right? It can be defined as going to a pain management clinic. So there's a lot of, you know, wonderful pharmaceuticals that can help. It can be defined as a mindset, as figuring out what is it that, and why is it that your body is holding on to this pain. It can look like physical therapy. It can look like, training your body to be in good health. It can look like changing the way you eat. Pain management is such a broad definition, but it can be honed down. In my practice, it's honed down into, you know, what do you say when you look at yourself in the mirror every morning? You know, it's living very intentional. Pain management to me is living in a very, very profound awareness and really beginning to develop a relationship with that pain, because stuffing it down and ignoring it will not help overcome or lessen it. But by acknowledging the pain, embracing it, learning the lesson that is there to teach you, then you can finally begin to release it. But only after you go through the acknowledgement process and the embracing of what the message of the lesson is.
Wow. Yeah, we have to acknowledge it. Oh, that's amazing. But how can giving up certain things help control the pain that we have in our life?
Okay, so something so simple. I ran across a blog one time, and it was beautiful, and it was, what can you give up to be happy? So oftentimes when you find somebody who's been chronic physical or emotional pain, typically, not always, but typically there's a lot of control issues. There's a lot of, well, I have to do this and I have to do that, and I have to take care of this person, and I have to take care of that person. And so a lot of what I teach my clients is what they can give up in order to really attain a higher level of happiness. You know, and one of those things, it could be as simply as giving up the need to be right. How frustrating and full of anguish are you sometimes when it's your job that day to prove that somebody is wrong? How often, you know, you got to sit back and realize, how often do you use up your energy to try to prove that somebody's wrong, when does it really make a difference if they're right or wrong? It really doesn't. And, you know, other simpler things could be criticizing. We actually have to become aware of our thoughts and the judgments that we pass on other people. It's all of this negative thoughts and energy vibration that we continually feed that feeds the pain that we have in our body. Our body cannot exist. Our body's pain cannot exist if our body is full of joy and optimism. It's very difficult for pain to exist in an environment like that.
Wow, I believe that. That's true. But let's
think
a little further
true.
About who, so does it, let's take it a little farther there. It depends, does it differ if we're hanging around people? Does that affect our pain level?
It's a great question, and it's a tough one for people to accept. Because there comes a point in time when you begin to change the way you think and the way you look at the world itself, that you begin to also notice that the people that you hang around with, and it could be close family members, it could be a partner, it could be a multitude of people, or it could be a group of friends, and you begin to understand that this might not be the best place for you to be because of the thoughts and the processes. But what I will promise is this, that when you change the way you look at things in your world, the things that you look at begin to change. And there are people that are probably people in your life that are probably probably chomping at the bit to change but don't know how. It's not a difficult process. It's just not the way people normally think. It's kind of thinking outside of the box, taking that brave step outside of that box that we so comfortably nestle into. Because even when you're in chronic pain, you found comfort there. You wouldn't be there if you weren't getting a benefit from it. That's just proven. And what I do in my practice is hone down in, and as painful as it is for people in pain to hear, you're holding on to it because you're benefiting from it, that, you know, that sounds kind of cold and uncaring, but in the most loving way, we do begin to uncover what the benefit is. And then the rewards are coming. And so, you know, does who you hang around with have anything to do with your pain level? It very well could. It doesn't mean that you need to drop ties, but it means that as you slowly change, you'll begin to see changes in the people that you're around because it's catchy. It's infectious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe that. I can just say the difference. And I'm being transparent here. The difference in my mom and my dad. My mom had a hysterectomy, and literally the first day she got out of the hospital, she was cooking, cleaning, and all that, but that's how she deal with it. She don't want a pain medicine. But
right.
Then my father, he was, and bless his heart, he's listening, but he told them the different level. So it's different, you know, with the man, woman, and then the difference how you perceive pain. So, because my mom is a go-getter, she never sits down, but then my father, I want to lay down, you know, that type of thing. So I see exactly what you're saying. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But let's see about this now, because we know how our mind is, how emotional we can be. Do you think the words that we say and the things that we even think about, how does that affect our pain level?
It does 100%. There's a doctor, a Japanese doctor, Dr. Emoto. He is a doctor of alternative medicine. And he did a study on the molecular structure of water. He used an electric magnetic resonating system somehow, and he throws vials of water. And what he did was he taped words on these vials. He would tape the word love on a vial of water and the word hate on a vial of water. And then he would study, after he froze these vials, study the molecular structure. The molecular structure of, and this is just the word, it wasn't spoken, it was just the word on the vial that said hate. It was all kind of mucky and stuck together, where the structure of the molecules in the vial of water that had the word love taped to it looked like snowflakes. Now, we as human beings are, there's different percentages out there, but I just picked 70% because that's where I see the most of. We're 70% water. We're more than half water. So if a word taped on a vial of water can make that effect on its molecular structure, what do the words that we say to ourselves or the thoughts that we have do to us? Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. I believe it.
Yeah, it's so profound because, you know, and the other thing is we're so hard on ourselves. You know, one of my favorite quotations is if we treated our friends like we treat ourselves, we wouldn't have any friends. Our friends wouldn't put up with us talking to them the way we talk to ourselves. Right? There's some of us out there that you know, truly do love ourselves, but for the majority of the population in this universe, that's not the case. And it's so sad to me. It's so sad to me that, you know, the universe was given us, God, whoever we believe in, has given us this life force, and we don't love ourselves. So without even being egotistical about that, just being respectful of life in general, you know, that's something that at minimum, we should be gifting ourselves. But instead, it's all this negative self-talk, and that feeds the pain, emotional stress, anxiety, depression feeds on those kinds of thoughts. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not tall enough. You're not thin enough. You're not pretty enough. You don't run fast enough. I could never do that. How many times do we have conversations like that with ourselves? What makes you think you can do that? That's just not how, you know, if we could change that internal dialogue, if we could only change our internal dialogue, our life would change. They just would.
Right. I totally believe that because my listeners know I always say, "What believe, trust, and walk it out." That's my little slogan. I say, but you know what, you guys? Oh my! This is some valuable information. I just really hope that you guys are taking notes and you can pass this on because we all have people in our family and our surroundings that are going through pain on a daily basis. They're on, you know, pain medicine 2-3 times a day. They have to go through a pain clinic. You know, I have plenty of colleagues that do pain management, but you know, we need to have the right mindset, like Bob is telling us. That's what even our business, our personal life, our relationships, everything, we need to have the right mindset. And the thing is, we need to bring that sadness. We need to be happy that we're here on earth for a reason. We actually have to enjoy life. And you know, we don't have to take a little break. And you know, you guys know what songs I'm going to play because you saw I'm saying it. You got to be happy. And then we're going to come back and Bobby's going to let us know and tell us how we can start making a change, how we can move out of this chronic and physical and emotional pain. But we'll be right back. We're just going to play my favorite song. You know what it is. It's Happy by Pharrell Williams. We'll be right back. This is Good News, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
From being happy. We need to realize that we have a choice of our attitude, of what we need to do. We need to make a decision every morning that we're going to be happy and we're going to have joy because we are in control of things. If you're feeling sad, if you're feeling bad all the time, hey, that's what as God is telling us, we're going to actually sow what we reap. And you know how I feel about that. But we're going to actually... Bobby's going to tell us how we can start moving from chronic physical or emotional pain. We have to make a start, and Bobby's going to tell us how we can do that right now. Are you there, Bobby?
There we go. I heard that you muted me. Sorry, I'm back, yeah?
Well, but yet we want to try to talk about, well, how can we start making a change to move from the chronic physical and emotional pain?
Well, let me share with you that I have clients who are in stage 4 cancer on chemotherapy and in excruciating neuropathy pain. And I have patients who are just slightly depressed. So my gambit is kind of from one end of the spectrum to the other. But the tools that I use are so similar. One of my key elements is asking folks what they're grateful for. And obviously sometimes they'll look at me and they'll be like, seriously, you want me to tell you what I'm grateful for? I'm hurting. Well, yes, and I understand that. And that's when I picked this niche, I knew I was going to be treading on tender emotions, right? Because people, especially by the time they come to see me, I'm kind of one of the, okay, nothing else has worked, maybe she will. And sadly, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. But being grateful completely changes the energy around you. Even if it's grasping at straws, I'm grateful that I can breathe, even when it might be problems breathing, but I'm grateful for every breath. So I encourage people to be aware of what they're grateful for. And that's a really, really awesome first step. Another amazing tool, and this one is a little bit difficult to put into place because we're so robotic in the morning, right? We wake up, we shut the alarm off, we get up, and we start our day, and it's like craziness from the moment our feet touch the ground. But the other thing that I ask folks to do is to really, really begin to be aware of what they're every morning. After you shut the alarm off, or if you're lucky enough not to wake up to alarm, when you first open your eyes, what are your first thoughts? Are they, good morning, Lord, or good Lord, it's morning? You know, it's kind of like, they're defining your definition of what you think first thing in the morning. Because if you wake up and you begin to embrace the day from the beginning, and, you know, it might sound like a little Pollyanna, but you know what? It works. So I don't really care so much about what people think about what I do because I know how miraculous it is. I've seen it work on people that are really, really suffering. Does it make everything go away? No, but you know what? It makes living with it and living through it so much easier. So those are two, I don't know how many ideas you want. I could go on and on forever. But those are two that are so powerful and simple and gentle to start.
Oh, wow. That'll change the world, like you said.
Yeah,
if you did those two things and didn't have pain, that's powerful. I do those things every morning myself, and people wonder, why you got so much energy? I have to get up, literally, especially with the filler and anesthesia, and now since I'm in media as well, I have to get up and meditate and do my affirmation, my prayer. I have to do that every morning before the coffee. I have to do that because I have to have the right mindset because you don't know what's coming down the road. So you're absolutely right what you're saying. So let's actually talk about this. Is it always emotional pain when you have physical pain? Are they emotional pain always present?
You know what my belief is 100% yes. Now that's my belief. I don't have any scientific evidence behind that, but I know from the experience of folks that I've worked with that if we can hone down into when a pain started or when did you first notice that, and people will share with me things that are going on, like, well, what's going on in your life then? And they'll look at me like, what's the difference what was going on in my life? My back hurts. Well, oftentimes you'll find, oh, low back pain. You know, low back pain is almost 100% of the time, unless a Mack truck rolled over your back, but it's almost 100% of the time related to your relationship with money or abundance or prosperity. You know, the low back is carrying the load. So it's going back to situations like that. I lovingly tell this story. My husband knows I tell it, that when I get triggered by something that he does or says, my left shoulder blade starts aching. And I know that as soon as that left shoulder blade starts aching, I've got to start changing the way I'm thinking. I've got to start softening up judgments maybe that I'm putting on for things that are going on between he and I. So I've really honed into the messages that my body is sending me. And yes, I do 100% believe that there's always an emotional component related to the physical pain that we have in our body. Now, finding it sometimes can be tricky. I've also discovered that I have a very innate and developed intuitive nature. I used to get, they call it, when I was working with somebody, something would flash into the vision of my mind, and I would just ignore it. Where now I've become more trusting, and I share what I see or hear with my clients, and inevitably it's like, well, I was raised by my grandmother. Maybe that's why you saw a little girl playing with an older woman. So it's things like this that start to stir up their memories and stir up, you know, how could this be related? And I only work with people that are open to accepting that this is a possibility. Because I know in my heart and in my soul that it's 100% true. But the people that I work with need to understand that I need to buy in. I need you to believe in this. And once you start believing in this, your pain's going to go away. It just does.
Well, that goes back, you guys. If you know my little three things, I say believe, trust, and walk it out.
Yeah.
It's important, yes. It's a cliche, but you can use that in every area of your life. But Barbara, tell us the one thing a person in chronic pain that they can, you know, do to begin a journey to healing of the pain.
Well, I think one of the most important things, and I know as a young woman, when I had chronic migraines day after day after day, I think the first thing is to stop ignoring the pain, acknowledging it. Yes, it's here. Have a conversation. You know, people used to think we were crazy if you talked to yourself. Trust me, those had to have been some of the most healthy people alive because it's important to talk to yourself. It's important to have that conversation to figure out, well, you know, I get that I'm hurting today. You know, is there something that I can do or say or share to stop this? If we intentionally spend time with ourselves and have this conversation, you may think it sounds crazy, and to the normal person, it probably does. But when you start being quiet, and I mean shutting down all of the crazy, random, crazy thoughts, like you said, you meditate every morning, you know how what a gift that is. There aren't a lot of people out there that understand the gift of quietness and how we can be downloaded all these important messages from the universe that they have for us. All of our answers are within us. It's just that all of the other voices are so critical and so loud. The messages to heal that we need can't get through because everything is so noisy. The human body is self-healing. That nobody can argue that. It's self-healing if we have to be quiet enough to hear the answers that we need to hear.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree with it. But Bobby, oh God, you know the time just gets, so I'm standing up and jumping around. I've had so much awesome information you've given us. But please, please, please give us your contact information, how we can contact you and support you in the things that you're doing, how we can actually, I'm already subscribed to your YouTube channel and all that, how we can actually set up a consultation and how we can support you in the things you do.
Awesome. Well, my website is www.painmanagementcoach.com. And so if you want to stay connected with me, go there. I have a free opt-in. I have a healing sleep recording and a recording called Dial Down the Pain. There are two free recordings that you get for opting into my website, and I would love to see folks join me there. Also, I can give you my phone number where I accept appointments and free consultations, and that is 815-408-1941. So I would love to hear from you and any of your listeners.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be here with Good Deeds.
Thank you.
Thank you. You guys, you know who it is. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. Hi, you guys. This is Good Deal.